Our first reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 16 through 20. And we'll read it off the screen together. We weren't, you know, just wishing on a star when we laid the facts out before you regarding the powerful return of our Master, Jesus Christ. We were there for the preview. We saw it with our own eyes. Jesus, resplendent with light from God the Father, as the voice of majestic God. This is my Son, marked by my love, focus of all my delight. We were there on the holy mountain with him. We heard the voice out of heaven with our very own ears. We couldn't be more sure of what we saw and heard. God's glory, God's voice. The prophetic word was confirmed to us. You'll do well to keep focusing on it. It's the one light you have in a dark time. You wait for the daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your hearts. That concludes the first reading.
We have just heard Peter in his old age. If we look at the timeline of many centuries ago, we realize that Peter wrote these words close to the end of his life. All then he was thinking back about the times when he was young, faithfully by Jesus' side. And let's refer in our second reading to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 9, 28-36, where we hear the actual happenings as described by Luke. About 8 days after saying this, he climbed the mountain to pray, taking Peter, John, and James along. While he was in prayer, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became blinding white. At once two men were there talking with him. They turned out to be Moses and Elijah. And what a glorious appearance they made. They talked about over his exodus, the one Jesus was about to complete in Jerusalem. And meanwhile, Peter and those with him were slumped over in sleep. When they came to, rubbing their eyes, they saw Jesus in his glory and the two men standing with him. And when Moses and Elijah had left, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, this is a great moment. Let's build 3 memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He blurted this out without thinking. And while he was babbling on like this, a light, radiant cloud enveloped them. And as they found themselves buried in the cloud, they became deeply aware of God. There was a voice out of the cloud. "This is my Son, the Chosen. Listen to him." And when the sound of the voice died away, they saw Jesus there alone. They were speechless. And they continued speechless, said not one thing to anyone during those days of what they had seen. Here ends our scripture reading. May God's Spirit be with us, and may we receive light to understand this passage just a little bit better. A personal question to each and every one of you. Have you ever had the experience of God's presence in your life in such a profound way that it touched you, that it changed you, and you knew from this moment on, I will never doubt again, because I know. Sounds a bit too spiritual, doesn't it? Well, one could describe such an experience maybe as a mountaintop experience, like we just read in the Bible. I've also heard people referring to this as a hallelujah experience. So the question is, what exactly happened when Jesus and three of his disciples climbed a mountain to pray? Now, Luke's gospel describes the confusion of the disciples and says that the experience left them speechless. And they found themselves buried in a cloud. And in all that commotion, they became deeply aware of God. May I remind you that in the last sermon he ever preached, Martin Luther King tells something that one could call the spiritual secret of the faith, life, and vision of this remarkable man. Let me read to you what he said. "And then I got into Memphis, and some began to talk about the threats that were out, or what would happen to me. Well, I do not know what will happen now. We have some difficult days ahead. But it really does not matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop and don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I am not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He has allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I have looked over and I've seen the promised land. And so I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I do not fear any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." And as we all know, a few hours later, this man was assassinated. Now, reality is that no one even knows for sure where the Mount of Transfiguration is. Historically, they are pointing to different places. Truth is, nobody knows. All that we really know for sure is that Jesus and his three closest friends climbed a mountain of prayer and entered the presence of God. Now, obviously, something wondrous and miraculous happened to them. Something so radiant and mystical that the afterglow never left Peter. We heard that in the first reading. Years later, Peter still remembered this day, different from all other days, and he wrote, still in a kind of a holy hush, "We had seen eyewitnesses of His Majesty. I was a witness myself." Part of the closing words that Peter ever wrote. The Mount of Transfiguration says to us that when we take the sum total of everything beautiful and wonderful that we have ever experienced through our five human senses, that is sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell, and when we add up every good feeling we ever had about friends, family, health, and hope, and when we include everything this world has to offer for happiness, joy, and peace, even then, it is not complete. There is still more there is indeed still more. There is a reality that our scientific instruments cannot measure, our best philosophical minds cannot fathom, and our most sophisticated rockets cannot reach. And that is the realm of the spiritual. It is the reality of the living God. And there is more to reality than what our senses can detect. I want to say this again. There is more to reality than what our senses can detect. And the Mount of Transfiguration says to us that there are more important things in life than the fear of dying. What sad, meaningless lives most people in our secular world live. They seldom discuss the value, enormity, and power of spiritual values. The importance of the value and the meaning of life is born out of a true relationship with the divine. And we know that's true. Many people live as if life really does not have a deeper spiritual dimension. And you know what? It shows. You can see it in them, can see it in their lives, and can only feel compassion. Oh, how often do we forfeit? Oh, what needless pain some people bear. Show me a human being that only chooses to talk about superficial things, tell everyday stories, but nothing else. And I will show you a person who has to declare spiritual bankruptcy and will continue missing real life, because of one reason, because they have never been to the mountaintop with God. Have your eyes seen the glory of the coming of the Lord? For the Apostle Peter, this mountaintop experience was so profound, so inspiring, so life-changing, that he would journey through the rest of his life, through all ups and downs, with the assurance, I am a witness of his majesty. I've been to the mountaintop. Loved ones, it is Lenten time, 2011. Today is known and celebrated throughout the world as Transfiguration Sunday. And that's what our service is all about. Wednesday evening, we will come into God's presence. Honest. Open, seeking God's forgiveness, God's understanding. And we will reach out, many of us, rededicating our lives to God in His service. The witness of Scripture, the Spirit of God, our Christian faith, sound the invitation. Come to the mountain. Come and sense the love, the inspiration, the life-changing power of the presence of God. Oh, I've known and I've loved people of God throughout my life that has been to the mountaintop. I've seen the glory of God in their eyes. I've heard the words of inspiration from their lips. When I sobbed in pain, they were there in a very special way. Many of them are gone now, but they've been to the mountaintop, and they planted in me the hunger, the need, and often a prayer in tears. Oh God, give me the vision of your mountaintop. How do we recognize those who've been to the mountaintop? For Jesus, at that time, it meant a return to the last 40 days of his earthly life, underway to crucifixion and victory over death. What did it mean for the disciples? It meant a return to the most difficult time they would ever experience. For you and me today, it may be a challenge to go and be everything God wants us to be in the days and the weeks to come. There is more. There is much more to Christian commitment than only going to the mountaintop and then selfishly closing our lives and our hearts and our pocketbooks to a suffering world around us. Many years ago, a missionary went to New Guinea, and after some years, he came home for a sabbatical, and he then told about his experiences while he was there in New Guinea, in the Fly River region. Many people asked him, "Tell us, what did you experience as a missionary there in faraway New Guinea?" And then an amazing story unfolded. Those people, he said, were utterly devoid of moral sense. Actually, they were worse than beasts. If some mothers were carrying a little baby and the baby began to cry, she would throw it into the ditch and let it die. If a man saw his father break his leg, he would leave him upon the roadside to die. Missionaries said they had no compassion whatever. They did not even know what it meant. And obviously the question came, well, what did you do for people like that? Did you preach to them? No, preach? No. No. They would not listen. They would have killed me. So I decided not to preach and just to live instead. Lived? What do you mean? How did you live? He said, well, when I saw a forsaken baby crying, I comforted it. When I saw a man with a broken leg, I mended it. When I saw people in distress, I took them in and pitied them. I took care of them. I lived that way. And those people began to come to me and say, why are you doing this? Are you crazy? What does this mean? Why? He said, well, so they opened the door for me, and I could freely talk about my faith, talk about Jesus, talk about God. Well, did it work? Did they listen to you then? Did you succeed? Well, when I left behind me a vibrant and a growing church. And I believe still growing to this very day. Now, I do not know the name of this missionary, but I do know that that man had been to the mountaintop. He was there. He became so acutely aware of the presence of God that his life changed and that he was never the same again. It's Lenten time. Our journey to Easter has begun. O God, lead and bring us to the mountaintop. We yearn, O Christ, for wholeness and for your healing touch. Too long have we felt helpless, our burdens seem too much. Forgetting all our pretenses, we now make our pleadings heard in hope and expectation. Await your gracious word. O God, bring us to the mountaintop. Amen.